Hello, and welcome to the Emmy Awards. I'm your host, Emmy Cardinale, and this is my podcast where I talk about what I've been watching or rewatching once a week. This is the first episode of mine that you stumble upon and you enjoy it. Please feel free to follow me wherever you listen to podcasts. Subscribe if you're listening to this on YouTube. Like the video if you're listening to this on YouTube. Comment down below any thoughts you have if you want. I don't know. It's up to you. This episode, like the title suggests, will be about You Season 5. This is not a episode-by-episode recap. I am gonna kind of go episode-by-episode and just track how I was feeling throughout the season, my general thoughts on certain arcs and characters, and just my thoughts on the conclusion of You Season, or of You, and of my thoughts on this season specifically. This episode will be going out on Friday. My release day had been on Wednesdays for the last few weeks. I don't know when my release is going to be. Ideally, I would want Thursday, maybe Fridays. I meant to get this episode out Wednesday, but I am not feeling the best, and I was fostering a kitten who needed a lot of attention. So I honestly, just with everything combined, it took me a while to muster the energy to record. And even now when I'm recording, I have like a massive headache. So I'm sorry if this episode's shorter than normal. I am currently working on a deep dive recap of School Spirit Season 2. Once I finish that deep dive, I will start working on my Yellow Jackets deep dive. So I have some bigger projects coming up in the next few weeks. I don't know what I'm going to talk about next week, just whatever is on my mind. If there's any like show that I watch this week, maybe if I'm able to, I'll get the School Spirits deep dive out next week. That will be my episode for the week. I think that would be my ideal situation, just because I think that would be the most fun option for the next episode. The Yellow Jackets one would not come out immediately after that, though. There will probably be an episode or two in between the School Spirits deep dive and the Yellow Jackets deep dive, just because since they are deep dives, I am going to take my time with them. But anyways, thank you so much for tuning in. Means a lot. General thoughts before I jump more into tracking my feelings episode by episode sort of ish. So I will be honest, I was a You Season 4 hater. It was my least favorite season of You. And because of that reason, I will be honest that I do not remember much about Kate's storyline. Like, I could probably tell you in a decent amount of detail stuff that happened in seasons 1 through 3 of You, because I've rewatched them many times, and I've never rewatched a single episode of season 4 because I find it quite exhausting. Now, a little bit of my history with You, because not to be one of those people, but I did actually like it before it was popular. I remember when You started airing, I'm gonna just track my relationship with the show since this is our farewell to You here on the Emmy Award. So I quite literally started watching You when it was airing, before it became a Netflix show. So if you don't know the history of You, it was originally, I cannot remember for the life of me what network it was on, but it was airing week by week, and I saw a preview for it, and in the preview for season 1, Shay Mitchell, she kissed Beck in one of the previews. So I was like, okay, Shay Mitchell is playing a lesbian again. I have to tune in. Plus, you know, Penn Badgley's in it. I liked him on Gossip Girl. Like, it seemed like a good cast and an interesting concept. So I was watching it week by week when it was airing. Then it dropped on Netflix and suddenly everybody became obsessed with it. And I was like, I've been here, okay? I saw the vision. Now, spoiler for season 1, Shay Mitchell's character did die, and the feelings she had for Beck were not reciprocated. So the reason I went into the show, I didn't really receive. There wasn't really a prominent lesbian character really in any of the seasons that I can recall. I know Love had lesbian friends. They weren't main characters. One thing about me, if there's gay people in it, I will be tuning in. So, and I like Shay Mitchell, and I ended up watching, God, I don't remember what the name of that show was. But there was a show she was in on Hulu. I watched that show for Shay Mitchell as well. Like, I'm a big fan of Shay Mitchell. She was my favorite character. Her and Spencer, I guess I liked Spencer. I related to Emily because she's gay, but Spencer, I think, is my favorite character. You know what's funny is when I feel like when I watched the show when I was younger, Pretty Little Liars, I related more to Emily But then when I rewatched it as an adult after I graduated college, I really resonated with Spencer because she, like, when she's in the psych ward, some of the most relatable shit ever. Anyways, not to get on a Pretty Little Liars tangent, but I was there, okay? I was watching you week by week. When it dropped on Netflix, I was like, I've already seen this. I've been with the program. So I was a fan. I was happy it got picked up by Netflix. I loved season two, especially now living in LA. Like, I really enjoy watching you season two. Season three, I loved, I think, probably the most because season two is so interesting without knowing the twist. It's really fun to rewatch when you do know the twist. But season three is really fun because there is no twist. It's all out in the open. So you're just kind of like watching the back and forth between Love and Joe. And I love that dynamic of like two serial killers in a family trying to navigate the fact that they both kill people. They both have very different relationships with the killing of people, with themselves in relation to how they feel about killing people. Like, all of that was super fascinating to me. I really loved it. So I was like super sad when Love died. And then I was not really looking forward to season four, to be quite honest. But I was like, okay, he faked his disappearance, whatever. And I really did not like season four. It was my least favorite season. I do think I would have enjoyed it more if it was the release schedule of it really, I think, took the wind out of the sails. I've chatted on it a million times on this podcast. But I think, and this is just my opinion, I think if you're going to release a show to streaming, I think you should either do a week by week release or everything at once. Or if you want to do multiple episodes at once, like Yellow Jackets for season three did two episode premiere. Pretty Little Liars Original Sin was doing like three episodes and then two episodes and then three episodes or something like that. Like things like that where it's like multiple episodes drop at once, but it's like a couple episodes. You did like half and half and it was like a month in between. And I hated that. Like, I hated that format. Flop of the century. You know what's so funny is when I found out that Wicked was going to be two parts, I thought that it was going to be like You season two, where it was like part two comes out a month later, which logically makes less sense for a movie. Like, I get why they did kind of like part one, part two, a year apart. Anyways, not to get into all these tangents, but I really did not like You season four. I do think the ending, again, I haven't rewatched it, so I feel like I don't really remember much about Kate. And so I feel like going into the season, a lot of Kate's reactions to Joe didn't make sense to me because I feel like we ended in a place where it was kind of, it felt to me, from my recollection, and again, I've only watched it once, I don't feel like I have a lot of knowledge on season four, even though I have seen it. It just genuinely, I didn't like it, so I didn't retain much of it. But season four, the way it ended to me felt like, okay, Joe, the whole arc of the season was this repressed part of himself was manifesting and he was dissociating and killing people through this other state of being, right? And at the end, he kind of embraces both parts of himself and Kate kind of embraces that too. And he's going to start over and they're going to make each other better. But also he's embracing the fact, like, not because Joe throughout the series has had an arc of like season one, he's just kind of like, I do think Joe Goldberg is a really interesting character to track. And I do think it's really interesting because with like serial killers in media, I mean, I will be honest, most of the serial killer media that I've consumed, and I'm not talking about true crime, I'm talking about like fictional serial killers. I think maybe the best example of a similar serial killer that you like track throughout a whole series would be Dexter, but I've never watched that show. I couldn't get into it. I tried. Somebody suggested it to me and this was years and years ago, so maybe I would like Dexter now, but like I just couldn't get into it, to be honest. Anyways, but I think it's really interesting the way you see Joe kind of devolve. Like, we see him at the beginning, not at the beginning of his killing. Or actually, I guess maybe at the beginning of his killing, because he tried to kill Candace, but he didn't succeed. But it's just really interesting seeing Joe's arc. And I do think, I don't love it. I honestly kind of hate this narrative tactic. It feels, personally to me, I do not have a dissociative disorder. And I know they never, like, diagnosed Joe with something, But I personally, we already know that Joe had trauma. Even to me, honestly, if it was something like he didn't remember, he blacked out the killing. To me, the part I didn't like was that he kind of like, in his mind, Reese Montrose was doing the killing. So it was kind of like, that to me, I will be honest, narratively, I don't like that decision. I do understand kind of the idea of a repressed version of himself. And then, I did really like the version of Joe we saw in season 5. Anyways, sorry, I'm going all over the place, but that's kind of basically what this podcast is going to be. It's not going to be super organized. If you haven't seen the show, most of this probably won't make a ton of sense to you, but if you have seen the show, hopefully you'll understand what I'm saying. Anyways, season 4 was my least favorite. Going into this season, I had said in my last podcast episode that I really wanted Joe to kind of get his comeuppance. And in the first episode, I will be honest, I was pissed off. The first episode really annoyed me because I was like, we're getting introduced to all these new people who I don't give a shit about. Like, I don't care about new people introduced. Like, I don't know. I was a little bit annoyed. I don't care about Kate. I don't care about her family. It was like, I wasn't compelled. I wasn't really rooting for anybody. It wasn't super interesting to me. I will say the one aspect that I did think was really interesting, I mentioned this in my last episode when I was talking about, like, I wonder what will happen, is I genuinely did not think, and maybe I underestimated the writers, but I thought that Joe's kid was kind of going to be an afterthought. Like, I didn't think Henry was really going to be a part of the season. And I will say, I think Henry's character and his relationship to Joe and just him as a character, I think, was one of my favorite parts of the season. So I am glad that they brought him into Joe's life in the way they did. Not for his sake, in terms of him as a person, if he was a real person. I'm not glad that he was back with Joe. But in terms of narratively, that character, I think it was interesting to have him. Like, to have Joe parent, I think, was a very interesting aspect that I did appreciate. Anyway, so that was interesting. Basically, we get all this backstory in the first episode that Kate's family basically, like, absolved him of his crimes. He has this, like, Prince Charming persona. He's famous now, and everybody loves him. They took back his kid from the sweet gay dad's Madre Linda. How dare he do that? One thing I liked that Kate said, I don't remember what episode it was. I'm jumping all over the place. I'm really sorry. I really liked when Kate, a few episodes in, was like, one of the worst things I did was let you take him away from his dad and Madre Linda. They really loved him. I'm like, you know what, Kate, you ate with that. You ate with that one little thing. Anyways, basically, Joe and Kate have been trying to be good people or whatever. But as one thing I did remember from season 4 is that part of the reason that Joe connected with Kate is because she had also done bad things, but they were both trying to be better versions of themselves, and they could not, like, demonize each other for the harm they've caused, but also strive to be better or whatever, blah, 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 blah. I'm putting words in his mouth, but I feel like that was the gist of, like, why they could be a power couple, right? Like, he sees the bad that she's done, but the good that's still underneath, and he felt the same from her. That he could be his complete self around her and she would still love him, right? That's kind of how we were set up to be, which is, I really don't remember how much Kate knew, because I guess she didn't know enough, and then basically she changes her mind. She's like, this is too much. And that did feel a little bit confusing to me. But I also like it, because I do think it's interesting how, not all of them, but many of the women that Joe, and when I say not all of them, I mean because Joe hasn't really opened up to all of them in the same ways. But all the women that he has opened up to and he has tried to be vulnerable with, like, they try to see him and they try to empathize with him. And he takes that and he, like, thinks that that's, like when the women of the show try to be like, Joe, what happened to you? Like, wasn't your fault? Or, like, you don't have to do bad things to be loved or whatever. Like, they try to be like, empathize with him. He, like, takes advantage of it. Like, he can't, which is why I think he's such an interesting character and super well written. And I think, like, I really like what they did with his character, especially because so many people romanticize him. And I don't understand how, I was never somebody who was like, Joe is so sexy. Like, I never felt that way. But this season, like it, as he gets worse and worse and worse, the more, like, repulsive I found him. Anyways, not Penn Badgley is a lovely man. I don't know anything about him. He might be horrible. But everything I've seen, he seems like a lovely man. And his wife is pregnant with twins right now. Best of luck as a twin myself. Best of luck to Penn Badgley. He's never going to hear this. Anyways, sorry. I just feel bad because I'm like, he's repulsive. And I'm not trying to comment on like Penn Badgley's appearance. But Penn Badgley also hates Joe, so I don't think he would be offended. Anyways, sorry. Joe's just a very interesting character in that regard because he, like, always takes things too far. Like, you give him an inch and suddenly he thinks that means that, like, there is no distance that he can't go. It's like, bro, I gave you an inch. Maybe stay at the fucking inch that I gave you. You give Joe an inch and he doesn't take a mile. He takes, like, he thinks distance is no longer a factor. Numbers no longer exist. He can go as far as he wants. It's insane. Anyways, basically, Kate's uncle, Bob, is on to her or whatever. And so Joe is like, I can do this for you. I can handle it. And he kills Bob. And he thinks, okay, cool. That means Kate. They have very different approaches to the killing. Joe thinks now this means he can kill anybody. And like, Kate is just fine with him killing people. And she is like, we can't do that again. I know that I said to do that, but we can't do that again. Like, I don't want to do that again. And Joe is suddenly like, she doesn't love me. She doesn't let me be my full self, right? And so Kate begins to like turn on him, rightfully so. And that's a lot of Kate's arc this season in a way that I really liked. So I like the first episode, I was kind of annoyed. I think the part of the season where I really got invested was when we find out the twist about Bronte. I really liked that. I was already kind of invested after, let me see, things I liked about the season. Okay, I really liked them having Henry because I think Henry's relationship. Okay, you know what's so funny? Sorry. In episode 2, I remember I was like watching it, and when I started episode 2, I messaged my sister. I was like, if the serial killer genes that they mentioned in Riverdale are like real, I feel really bad for Henry because I fear he may have them. And then like literally 10 minutes into that episode, he like hits his cousin or something, Kate's like sister's kid or whatever. They get into a fight. And I'm like, maybe he does have the serial killer genes. Henry is lovely and beautiful, and I wish him the best. And the poor child has, like, experienced a lot of trauma. Anyways, I really liked Henry's role because the way Joe tried to parent and the way that his desire to protect Henry, if you will, motivated him in certain ways, I really enjoyed that. I really liked that they brought Moonies back. So they're back in New York, and with Kate's family's money, they bought Moonies, and Joe eventually does open Moonies. A girl is, like, breaking in, and he, like, decides to open Moonies, and she works there, and that's Bronte, who we find out, I think, at the end of episode 4, maybe the end of episode 5. I think it was the end of episode 4, that she actually was stalking him. We find out because, basically, they start having an affair. Of course they do. She reads his writing and, like, empathizes with the protagonist that's writing, and Joe takes this to mean that she truly understands him and validates the fact that he wants to kill people because Joe is absurd. Like, God, Joe Goldberg, so exhausting. Like, so exhausting. It's like, okay, what happened to him as a child was not his fault. And I do believe in rehabilitation and that people can grow and they can be better and they can learn and all of those things. But Joe's outlook on life is that killing people, in some cases, is good. And is often the right thing to do. And that is simply not a world we should live in. Because you do not get to be the arbiter of who lives and who dies. There is a reason that murder is wrong. No matter how abhorrent you think somebody is, how horrible somebody you think somebody is, like, you do not get to decide that their life is over because you condemn them and you think they're a bad person. That's not how the world works. Why am I just explaining why murder is wrong? But it's just like absurd watching Joe because he's like, well, this person's a bad person. It's like, okay, who made you God? It's crazy. It's crazy. So anyways, he like falls for this girl. He begins having an affair. She like runs away. He chases her down. And then this guy is like yelling at her, and he strangles the guy and kills the guy. And then her friends come in and are filming him, and he goes viral and he gets arrested. He gets bailed out. But anyways, and the girl ends up being the reason he gets out because she's like, it was self-defense. But we find out that a lot of this was crafted. A lot of what we learn about her was crafted and like made up to entice Joe because she and her friends had been stalking him, and very much on, like, the true crime, like, this guy's definitely, like, you know the vibe. Anyways, and I did really like that twist. I really enjoyed Bronte as a character, and I will say, of all the things that I take issue with in the show, I think each love interest, while there are some that I have preferred more as like fully fledged out characters, I do think in terms of moving Joe's plot along, they've all been really interesting. Again, some more than others, because it's like, okay, I think the worst one was that rich lady from season 3, that like his neighbor. I hated that woman. That was only interesting because love was there. Like, if love wasn't there, that would have been boring, because it's like, okay, Joe, like somebody else, blah, blah, blah. But the fact that love was there, and that made it interesting. But as a love interest, she herself was like not interesting to me personally. But I think like most of them have been interesting. It's just annoying because Joe never like can appreciate what he has. It's always like the grass is greener. Like literally Joe Goldberg, such an insufferable man. I don't understand how anybody watches the show and is like, he's so dreamy. Like, is Penn Badgley an attractive guy? Yes. Do his TikTok dances? I love his TikTok dances. I do. I find Penn Badgley very charming. I don't understand the appeal for Joe. We get his inner monologue from the beginning. How can you watch like the pilot episode where he's like, ooh, she's not wearing a bra and she wants me to notice and like fall for him? I don't get it. I don't get it. Not to like shame you if you like Joe Goldberg. I will say, if you watched season 5 and you were attracted to Joe Goldberg, this season specifically, I don't understand. Like, genuinely, I found him so repulsive, like, the entire season. I will say, he was funny in some moments. Like, the show is funny. Anyways, what was I saying? Okay, so you find out, and I loved this twist, because I had seen, and I really, okay, the thing is, I was like, I'm not gonna go on TikTok. I'm not gonna go on TikTok. Like, I won't get spoilers, whatever. And I will be honest, I didn't see like most spoilers. The one spoiler I did see was Bronte and Beck. Like, Bronte was Beck's like student when she was a TA. I did see that. I did see that on TikTok. But I didn't know the extent of Bronte's backstory. Like, the fact that she was stalking Joe and her little friend group. Like, they crafted this whole identity where Dr. Nikki's son from season 1 was the guy who Joe ended up killing, but like he was pretending to be a jealous ex when he wasn't a jealous ex. But then the fight that Joe saw that prompted him to then kill this guy was real, because Bronte was buying into Joe's shit too much. And they were like, you're falling for it. Like, he killed Beck, he framed my dad. And she's like, no, I think he's actually a good guy. Like, she starts to drink the Kool-Aid in a really interesting way, to the point where she like literally defends him. She's like, it was self-defense. And again, and she kind of takes him back, and she has a moment with him where she's like, you do not need to kill people for me to love you. I'm giving you my love. You don't have to do anything bad. You do not have to kill people for me to love you. There's no conditions. I'm loving you unconditionally. I see everything you've done. I know that you have a good heart. You do not need to kill people for me. Right? And she thinks that will be like a breakthrough moment. And they have like a good moment. They come together. And then he kills somebody. And he's like, you know, she said I didn't have to. But I also know that if I do kill people, she will still love me. It's like, actually, no, Joe, that's not what she said at all, you fucking weirdo. Like, he's so insufferable. Like, what the fuck do you mean? Anyways, but I did really like that twist. I really liked Bronte as a character. One of my favorite moments of the season was, basically, anyways, when Joe gets arrested, Kate's lawyers do come to bail him out, and he signs a bunch of paperwork, one of which was giving custody away, so he no longer has custody of Henry. Henry is therefore then kept away from him, and he's trying to, like, make contact with Henry. Eventually, they lock him in a cage. When he's in the cage, they bring Marianne. I might be messing up the timeline. I really don't remember when he was in the cage. I think it was after he killed the guy. Sorry, I'm literally jumping all around. So he's in the cage at some point, and Bronte is trying to find him. And, okay, now I remember. So he's killed the guy. Him and Bronte aren't really talking because he thinks that she was just this crazy stalker who, like, none of what they had was real, yada, yada, yada. She eventually takes him back. They're a couple now, right? They're a couple again. Then Kate locks him out of Mooney's because he's been living there. And, like, she, like, locks it because she owns the building, right? So he can't get into Mooney's. But they trap him. They put him in the cage. and Bronte's been living in the apartment above Mooney's. She manages to break in. And when Joe is in the cage, they bring Nadia in. They bring, and then they bring Mary Ann, who he thought he had killed Mary Ann, but Mary Ann was alive. All this to say, sorry, one of my favorite scenes of the entire season was when Mary Ann has a conversation with Bronte, because it's like a moment where she gets it. She like really empathizes with why Bronte like fell for him, the ways that he made her feel seen, the ways that he played with her emotions, all of these things. Like, she really empathizes with Bronte in a way that Bronte's friends aren't able to, because Bronte like really starts to believe him, and all her friends who she literally met through trying to like solve the Joe Goldberg case are like, why are you believing him? He is a serial killer. We know he's a serial killer. And she's like, no, I know him. It's different. And Marianne is able to kind of have a breakthrough moment. She's like, he makes you feel all these things. I loved this scene because she gets it. It's like an aha moment. Then Mooney starts to burn down and she manages to save, like she goes in and Joe thinks she's trying to save him, which I guess she is. And then that eventually leads to Joe's demise because Bronte is just playing with him to get him where he needs to be and like arrest him. And then Joe goes to prison. So I liked that. But backing up a little bit, Joe, basically, when Henry gets into the trouble with his cousin or whatever, Kate's sister is really not. So basically, he kidnaps Kate's sister, who is actually the wrong sister because she's a twin, and he confuses the twins because the twin who he's not trying to kidnap is having an affair with the other twin's husband. So he thinks that's the twin that he's kidnapping, but it's not. It's the other twin. Anyways, he traps both twins. Then he convinces the one twin to kill the other twin. Tragic. And then the twin who killed, I don't remember their names, but the one twin who killed her sister pretends to be her going forward. And I really liked that storyline because she was having such a hard time pretending to be her sister because her sister is like pretty mean in comparison to her, if that makes sense. Like, there was a lot of like internalized battling with trying to pretend to be like a meaner version of yourself and all of this. The main conflict of the beginning of the season is that he has Kate's sister trapped in the cage. And I will be honest, while I do find that interesting in the context of the entire season, I was a little bit annoyed at first. I was like, I don't care. Oh, he's kidnapping somebody. But Kate is starting to be like, something's wrong with Joe. So she is meanwhile crafting a plan to like get him to pay for everything he's done. So she tracks down Nadia, who was framed for Reese's murder from season 4, who I really liked Nadia. I was so sad when that happened to her. And with Marianne, they confront Joe when they lock him in the cage. Joe's kind of off the hook for a little bit, but then it is at the end of episode 5 when he kills the guy, and then episode 6 we find out Bronte's whole backstory. I really loved the detail of Bronte, who knew Beck, picking up on the fact, like the moments in her book and the rewrites that Joe did that made it less her. And I really like specifically the detail of like an author he quoted that Beck had told Bronte, like, really, like, you're gonna take feminist writing from like a man and not like an actual woman. I really like that detail. I really liked Bronte's whole arc. A lot of people did not like Bronte. They like thought she was like the worst love interest ever. I disagree. Was she my favorite in terms of a character on her own? No. But I think as the final love interest to defeat Joe, I think she was 100% the right person to do it. And I think that's what I was trying to say earlier, that I think every love interest has served a very interesting purpose, right? We see with Beck, he already has like violent tendencies. He already has this like savior complex. Like, I am doing what's better for her. I'm a nice guy. These people that she's around aren't good for her. Like, he has this attitude from the beginning, but it obviously like becomes more severe. And then season 2, he's like trying to fight this version of like the love interests at the moment that they are play super important roles. And I think bringing back Beck in the way that they did through Bronte's storyline, but also just Bronte within herself, because I think while somewhat similar in that, like, there was like the twist of season two was that Love kind of stalked Joe in the way that he stalked Love. Joe and Love are two very, while similar, they had very different approaches and rationalizations and internalizations of killing people and even of stalking, right? The reasons they stalked each other were different. So Bronte, the stalking she did of him, the amount of knowledge that she had on him in order to take him down in the way that she was then able to me, I think that she was the perfect person to do it. And I think the detail of having Marianne be the breakthrough was like wonderful. And I really liked that choice because I think it wasn't just, do I think Bronte within herself was like a good character to do it? Yes. But I think the layers of her doing it with the knowledge of the ways that Joe had wronged everybody else, it wasn't like Bronte herself was like somehow more powerful that she was able to defeat the bit like Joe in this way. She had the knowledge. She had all of the evidence and all of the, and she had the encouragement and the pushing of Marianne. Like without that conversation with Marianne, she wouldn't have been able to like break through his spell, right? I really like that detail. I really like that detail of Joe being stalked and them psychoanalyzing him. And also still the fact that even within that and with that knowledge, she was still able to fall for it. Like she was still convinced. She still defended him. She still tried to fix him, to be like, I don't think you're a bad person, to see his goodness and try to encourage that from him instead of validating the bad. But Joe is not able to see, like, Joe is not capable of separating the harm he causes from good. He thinks it's good. He thinks that all the things he did when he was wrong, it was like, oh, no, he was broken. But now he's healed because he's accepted, he's loved. Anything he does now is out of love. It's not out of, he's not able to see that she is saying, I see why you did it. You don't need to keep, like, you know what I mean? He's not able to see because Joe doesn't understand, or maybe he doesn't, he doesn't care that the things he's doing are not good. He thinks it's good. So when the people around him are trying to be like, I see the good in you, he thinks that also includes the bad parts. I try really hard when I watch fiction, and like specifically with Yellow Jackets, I try to be like, they're all coming from hard positions. I as much as I'm like somewhat trying to be charitable to Joe Goldberg, I'm like, I just can't be. Like, what do you mean? Like, it's so ridiculous. And I think what this season does is, I really liked when Marianne was like, Joe, you are abusive. Like, you are abusive. You're not a good person. You're not a good man. I liked all of those moments. I even liked the ending. Was it a little bit annoying of like, the problem is you, like the people who, like, I guess some people do need to hear that. I'm not the problem because I think he's ugly. No, not like physically, just like his spirit. I think his spirit is ugly. And I have since the beginning. I kept watching because Shay Mitchell was in it, okay? Like, I really liked Bronte. Not like as a character in the, like, I found her super compelling. Everybody pales in comparison to Love, Quinn. Okay, I'm sorry. She was the best. I love her. But I do think that as much as I was like, oh, Love, I wish Love had lived and everything, I do think Love died at an important moment. Like, I think there's something interesting about the fact that when Joe knew that Love was killing people, he wasn't able to accept it and like be with her in the way that he was able to like accept the bad parts of Kate. And I think because there's something about like the distance with it, maybe. I do also think that it was the timing and the fact that he had just like, he wanted to embrace all the parts of himself. With Love, he was still very much in denial that he was good. At the end of season four, he's just kind of like, I'm good and bad, Joe is like, no, I'm good. And then he's like, you know what? I'm good and bad. Like, I do good and bad, but that doesn't, we can do good and bad together or whatever. I don't know. I really don't remember the end of season four. But it's like there's an interesting... And then in season five, he's kind of like, no, I'm healed. Like, I'm healed. Everything I'm doing, now it's more kind of like the bad I'm doing is good, though. Which I guess he kind of was at the beginning of the show, too. But it's just different. Like, I think, anyways, I'm really not making any sense. I, like, lost my train of thought and I haven't been able to find it. Again, I was on a good groove and then something distracted me and now I have no idea where I am in the thoughts in my brain. But, and maybe this is wrong. I'm just spitballing here. I haven't thought of this before. I'm thinking out loud. But I do wonder if more than just the timing, if there's something to be said about the distance, right? Love killed people, like, physically with her hands. She did it. She killed people the way he killed people. Kate's killing was like she's responsible for the deaths of a lot of people, but it's not like an active thing. Even when she agrees to kill somebody, when she's like, I'm cool with you killing, it's still him doing it to protect her. There's like a misogyny that Joe has. And I'm not trying to be like, oh, equality is when anybody of any gender can kill people. Obviously killing people is wrong, but I do think there's something about Joe's misogyny that he was repulsed by love's violence, but he accepted Kate's because of, you know what I mean? Does that make any sense? Maybe I'm far off, but I feel like there's something to that, that Joe, I don't know. So I think that's really interesting, but I really like the fact that I think part of me was like, I wish that love had lived because she was the only one who was like willing to meet him where he was. But I think there's something really beautiful about the fact, or not beautiful, but I think there's something really well done and well written about the fact that nobody was able to meet him where he was because he was not ever going to be at a place. Because no matter where you met him, he would move the goalposts and it would get worse and worse and nothing, like, you know what I mean? There was no level of change from Joe. He just kept getting worse. He just kept justifying his behavior. Like, all of these things I think were really well done. I do think there would be an interesting route to go where, and I guess maybe they couldn't have Love be this person. I mean, I don't think Love narratively could have been, like, the person to finally, like, take him down in the way Bronte was because of her, like, outsider role falling for the breakthrough with Marianne. I think that was all really well done to be the final person to take down Joe. But I do think there would be a really interesting, like, I wish we had gotten a story or a moment where Love was like, Joe, you're going too far. Because I don't feel like she ever had that moment the way the others did. And I don't know, maybe that's just not, like, maybe the point of Love's character is that she wasn't going to get there. She would have always understood where he was coming from. And he can face that within himself, especially because she's a woman. And that's not the role in his mind that he thinks women need to take. He wants to be the protector. That's Joe's thing from the beginning. He doesn't believe that Beck has bad friends. Beck trusts bad men. It's his responsibility to decide who she associates with, to determine if they're good enough to live. Like, they're, you know what I mean? Like, not only does he dictate who she has in her life, but he has to therefore then shape the world around her and who she's allowed to see. And, like, all of these things that completely strips her of her autonomy and her ability. And, like, I saw somebody say this in a comment section, but Joe creates versions of these women in his head. And then when they don't meet that expectation, and that's very, very, like, well said, like, he didn't know Beck. He didn't know her, but he created a version of her in his head and then needed her to fit into that. You know what I mean? Very interesting. Very, very interesting. But I think Love was just never... As much as from an outsider perspective, it seems like Joe, Love was the only one who was going to accept you fully for who you were. Joe would never accept Love fully for who she was because she didn't need protecting in the way that he thinks the woman in his life needs to be protected. You know what I mean? And I think Bronte was an interesting character because she saw that in him and she was like, I understand. You did protect me. She was like, but you don't need to protect me for me to love you. I love you regardless of that. You don't need to kill people to protect me. I will love you even if you were not that person for me. And he just, that doesn't compute to him because he's annoying and the worst. Anyway, I really liked the way literature and like Moonies and everything really drove a lot of this season, because I feel like in season one, the bookstore and Beck being writer and all of these things were very, very important to the story. And then season two, like writing wasn't really important and his love of books wasn't important in the same way. I mean, it always carried, like it carried out throughout, and obviously in season four, he was a professor, whatever. But I really liked the way, I did like the way that this season did tie up a lot of things, and like there were a lot of callbacks. Like we did see Paco, because basically after he kills the guy, they're on like TikTok live. So then he starts trending. People come out in his defense. People come out and say bad things about him. And Paco's one of the people who's like, Joe protected me and my mom from this scary guy. And then the people who, Bronte's friends who know everything about Joe were like, this is the person and he's a missing person because Joe did kill that guy. So like I did like that. I did like the connections to the previous seasons. I mentioned a while ago that I liked Henry's role in the season. There's a moment with Henry and Joe, I think in one of the final episodes, like maybe 8 or 9 or 10, where Joe isn't able to talk to Henry because he doesn't have custody of him. At some point he tracks down Henry. He like goes to Henry's school, gives a teacher a book to give him with a tracker in it. So then he tracks down where Henry is, which is supposed to be a secret from him because he's not supposed to have any contact with Henry. He breaks in. Then Kate takes Henry to London. Eventually, Joe, his friend from season two who moved to the Philippines, his one loyal friend, Will hacks Henry's like video game server so Joe can talk to him while he's playing a video game. And Henry says, you know how you said that there weren't monsters under my bed? You lied. You were the monster in my room. Like that was, I loved that moment. I really liked Henry's character because we see him like lashing out and violent. And like after he gets into the fight with Kate's sister's daughter, they have like a dinner at their house. Kate and Joe have a dinner at their house to try to like appease Kate's sister so they don't fight to file charges and get Henry expelled, because that is what Kate's sister wants to do, is get Henry expelled from the private school where he goes with, where he and Kate's daughter's sister go, or Kate's sister's daughter like go, where both kids go. She wants to file charges, which would then get him expelled because the school has a no tolerance policy for things like that. And so they're trying to like appease the situation, and Kate's sister is like really mean or whatever and does not say very nice words about Kate and Joe. And Henry gets really mad and throws a knife at Kate's sister. So like there is a lashing out, a behavior, like there are behaviors that Henry is clearly exhibiting where it's like this poor kid is like, maybe he has some of Joe in him. Like I feel like you start to feel bad for him because you know that Joe, when he was younger, like lashed out in these certain ways. And obviously, while nothing excuses what Joe did, I'm not like, it is, we do have background on Joe and the ways that his trauma was never treated, and he was just constantly like punished and shamed for like anything that happened to him, which obviously then like leads to a distorted sense of self. Obviously, Joe's an adult. It's his responsibility to not kill people because he's been traumatized, not saying that the trauma justifies the killing of people. And I think if there's anything you can learn from Joe Goldberg, and hopefully people don't need to watch the show to learn this, but if you don't take like responsibility and aren't able to like genuinely face the fact that you're doing bad things, that you're causing harm, maybe you don't want to say you're doing bad things. You don't want to categorize your behavior as good or bad because then whatever. If you cannot acknowledge that the things you were putting out are bad, the things you were doing are causing harm. I just said don't use the word bad, but like it's causing harm, right? People end up hurt from the things you are doing. If you can't face that and then like listen to people when they're telling you, you don't need to prove your love to me. Like if you, like there's no introspection, there's no trying to change and be better and be like, and grow. There's no growth. It's just constantly like justifying, excusing, doubling down, and then like steering more into like just keep going down and down the same cliff instead of trying to like steer back onto the road and go straight. Like there's no correcting course. You just keep going in the wrong direction, in the wrong direction, in the wrong direction. You can go through horrendous things and like, and again, I believe in rehabilitation and like genuinely like fixing things and whatever. He's a fictional character, so I'm not trying to like, he's such an exhausting character because anybody tries to empathize with him. They try to be like, the things that happened to you were not your fault. I know you're a good person. And he like doesn't listen. He doesn't change. He doesn't grow. He doesn't internalize it. And I really do think a deep part of it is misogyny. It's like hatred. It's lack of empathy, whatever it is. I mean, he's not a real person. So I'm not trying to like, I think genuinely the weird dissociative, another, like I thought somebody else was killing people. If that had never happened, I would really appreciate Joe Goldberg as like a representation of, because I do think he's very interesting psychologically of like the way he devolves and the way he justifies and then the way he can't be with love, but he can, like, Joe's a very interesting character. I think it bothers me because it feels like there's meant to be some kind of, and obviously he has trauma, but like the weird dissociative thing felt to me like, I don't know, that's my least favorite thing that they've ever done. I don't think it was necessary. Season 4 I think could have been done differently. Again, even if it was just something where he like blacked it out, but the weird like another version of him feels, I don't like it. I don't like that, to be quite honest. I do kind of want to rewatch season 4 just to get a little bit more background on Kate, because I don't feel like I really understood Kate's reaction this season, because I'm like, how much did she know? But it's like Joe really can't just accept a good thing. People will be like, I get it. Just don't do it again. And he just can't stop doing it. Bronte will be like, I do not think you're a bad person for wanting to kill people to protect me. But please, you do not need to kill people to protect me. I love you regardless. And he's like, she loves me regardless. I will kill people and she'll still love me. That's not what she said. I really liked the fact that it was Dr. Nikki's son who Bronte was like friends with. And like, I really like that. I really like that he came back somehow. RIP to that guy. He died. You know what I also don't remember about season 3? That couple, they show up in this when Joe's trending on TikTok. They make a video because Love and 40's mom is like, that guy, he killed both of my children, which is true. But then they like stitch the video, if you will, and they're like, your daughter locked us in a cage. Did they not like run from both of them because they heard them? I guess honestly, maybe in that fight, it came up that Love killed somebody. I don't think, maybe they just didn't think Joe was a killer. So they like, I don't know. I need to rewatch season 3 because I'm like, why are they just fine? Well, I guess they thought he died. I love that Marianne was still alive. She was done so dirty. I feel so bad for Marianne. But it ended well for her. She is now like a successful artist because Kate starts like representing her and her art. She becomes a successful artist. But yeah, I think my favorite things of the season, I liked Henry's role. I liked the fact that Marianne was brought back to be the turning point for Bronte. I liked the fact that Bronte had a mission to take Joe down, but she still fell into his trap and she was still like, I really like that because I do think you can know every, like, I think that is so telling of how charismatic and dangerous men like Joe are. And I like the way that she took him down. I like the fact that Henry is going to be, I feel bad for his dads. Like, I hope they can see him sometime. They probably never will, but that made me sad for them. But like, Kate survived. I thought she died in the fire because they burned Mooney's down and Bronte rescues Joe. In that moment, we hear her in her monologue and she's like, I could leave you here or I can like show the world what you are or whatever. Like, she wants him to get justice. She doesn't want him to just die, which I do think was a good ending. Like, I do think Joe dying would have been less satisfying than, like, Joe actually has to face consequences and he has to be alone for his entire life where he can't ruin anybody else's life. He's just stuck with himself for the rest of his life. I think that was well, even though I am in real life against prison. Like, I'm not pro prison, but he's a fictional character, so I'm glad that he's locked away forever. Like, I do like that more than him dying. I really like the detail of her being like, redact everything that you added to the book and then publishing Beck's work as her own completely. I really liked that of Bronte. I really liked that from her. I really like them bringing Henry and having Joe want a parent, because a big, not that he didn't want a parent, but when Joe finds out that Love is pregnant in season 2 and going into season 3, he thinks that he's always talking about the baby like it's a she, right? Again, Joe's misogyny. He thinks, okay, I'm going to have a daughter to protect. I'm going to be the protector. I'm going to protect her. Then it's a boy, and he, like, has a different reaction to that. He does not connect with his son. He doesn't really want to be a parent. He feels, like, trapped with the relationship with Love, and he doesn't, which is why he abandons his son and leaves him with people who he thinks will do better for him, right? When he fakes his death, he's, like, he leaves his son behind. Then he gets his son, and it's kind of like Henry is an extension of him. He's not, like, his own person. He's not parenting him because he wants, his motivations with Henry are very, very similar to his motivations with the people in his life. Joe isn't interested in partnership and people having like their own autonomy and their own perspectives and like working through things. He thinks he knows what's best for people and he wants like this level of control. And like, obviously when you have a kid, like you have some, not level of control, but like a like responsibility to your child where like, yes, you decide where they go to school, you make their food, like all obviously. But the way he treats Henry and the way he's like, my son, I need my son back. You can't keep my son from me. It's not like what's best for Henry. And I am glad that there is a moment from Henry where he's like, you are not good for me. You are not somebody good to have in my life. And I'm glad that Henry has that realization. And it's not something that's necessarily, there are like other people, there is like kind of a moment where Henry does have his own autonomy and he's like, no, you are not good for me. I really like that we have that from Henry and it's not just kind of, because he is a child and Joe was a good father and everything he was receiving from Joe was like, I want to be in your life. But Henry has a moment where he's like, you are not a force for good in my life. You're not a force for good at all. Like, this is not. And I like that. I like that we have Henry kind of realize that. I guess my biggest critique, if I had to have a big critique of You season 5, I don't know how necessary the twin storyline is, to be honest. Like, I do think it added some kind of conflict, but I feel like I would have, like, it didn't feel super necessary to me. Because it's not like Kate, I like to think of the deaths in You as like having meaning and purpose and like what was the point of Joe killing this person when he did and the way he killed them and all of these things, right? In the beginning of the series, he kills Benji, he traps Benji and he kills Benji by giving him, he puts peanut oil in his thing and it's basically like he doesn't think that Benji's telling the truth about his peanut allergy because Benji's like full of shit about like being gluten-free and being dairy-free or whatever like free he is, right? Joe thinks that he's just one of those guys who's like, I can't eat this, but he actually doesn't have like an allergy. So he like tests him and then he is actually allergic to peanuts and that's how he dies. I think the ways Joe kills people are really interesting. And I just don't, like the way he killed Dr. Nikki's son, I think was super, super interesting and important. And that moment's really important. The whole twin dying, I found that plot to be kind of annoying just because I think maybe it would have been more interesting if that was kind of like a moment where Kate was like, something's wrong with Joe, but she had already started turning on Joe after the killing of Uncle Bob, right? Like, what was the purpose of Joe, the whole twin arc to me? Like, that, I guess it added an interesting, and I do think it was interesting for that character. But I think since we just met her, I don't care enough about, like, her internal struggle to to fight. Like, the parts of this season I found the most compelling were callbacks to the early season and early seasons and Joe getting comeuppance. I think one of my biggest frustrations with you sometimes is, like, I don't know, sometimes we meet characters and it was like, what, that was, like, the twin storyline, it's like, what did that serve? I guess Joe started devolving again, right? He hadn't killed people in a while. Then he kills Uncle Bob. Suddenly he starts doing the same thing he did again, but this time, instead of doing it for Kate, he's doing it for Henry. I guess there's stuff there. I just personally, the parts when I really got engaged with the season were the Bronte stuff and then the twist with, like, he's being catfished and, like, stalked and that kind of his tricks are being used to trick him. That was the part of the show when I got really interested. Like, okay, this girl, she has history with Beck, but she's still also falling for his trap. I thought that was really interesting. I really liked Bronte as a character. I really liked the detail of, in the flashback when we see her and Beck in their, like, TA session or whatever, Beck says something about how Bronte is really able to, like, empathize with a character even if they seem, like, really bad. And I really like that detail because I feel like we got that from Bronte. Like, she's reading Joe's descriptions of how he wants to kill people, and she's like, the reason Joe feels seen first and their whole thing kind of starts is because she reads his writing and she feels, and he feels like she sees him, right? She empathizes with his character, quote unquote, which is actually just his internal thoughts. And so I like that detail because that was very true of Bronte, and she did really empathize with Joe and this character, this version of himself that he was letting on, even the most irredeemable parts, which is the way Beck described it. I really liked that. I liked Bronte's character. I liked the twist. I liked the ways that even though she knew everything about him, she still fell into his trap, and the people around her who, because that's the unfortunate situation when you're being manipulated like that. You can't be reasoned out of it because it's like an unreasonable, it's like an emotional thing, right? You're in it. You can't think logically. I thought it was super well done. How the thing that snapped her out of it was somebody who saw the emotion. It wasn't the logic, the reason, the, like, we have the facts. All these people died around him. You know logically he is a serial killer. It was that emotional empathizing with how he's making you feel. And how, like that is what shifted. Because she realized that it was manipulation. It was a persona. It wasn't like a genuine thing. It snapped her out of it because she, her emotions were the thing that Marianne touched on, not the logic, you know? I really liked that. Penn Badgley has talked in interviews about how it was super important for them that the moment Joe is caught, he's, like, in the bedroom because he puts, like, anybody in the cage, but he only interacts with women in the bedroom, and, like, Joe at the end of the day is a sexual predator. And I thought that was really interesting. Again, Joe is a very misogynistic character. He is 100% Joe is a sexual predator, and I think that was super well done on their part. I was really surprised Kate survived the fire. I thought she had died, and then, like, the final episode is just Bronte, like, running away with Joe and then eventually, like, getting him arrested. And then after we find out that Kate survived the fire, I'm like, we couldn't have gotten some information that Kate survived before that. I thought she was dead this whole time. And then at the end of the episode, they're like, she's not dead. I mean, I'm glad she didn't die. We don't need more people dying because of Joe Goldberg. But it was a good season. As much as I hated on season 4, I really like this conclusion of the series. I'm excited to rewatch, like, the whole thing from the beginning. Maybe I'll within the context of the way everything ends, I'll appreciate season 4 and, like, that version of Joe. Because I do think Joe's trajectory throughout the series is really interesting. And I think he becomes more and more insufferable as the series goes on. Like, Joe Goldberg is really proof that you can try so hard to meet somebody where they're at and empathize with where they're coming from and validate them and see them and try your best to be like, I believe in the good in you. And if they are not able to truly face themselves and actually, like, you know, want to change and be better and like actually acknowledge their shortcomings in a real honest way, then like there's nothing you can do. You can't fix people. You can meet them where they're at, communicate with them, believe in them, do your absolute best to empathize with them and see them as a human being. But like at the end of the day, if they're not like willing to be better, you can't force them to. I don't know. I really like the series. Emmy, however many years ago, who started watching that was low-key a genius. I was ahead of my time, for real. Shout out to Shay Mitchell and lesbians, because I thought she, well, I don't know if she was like a lesbian in the, she was closeted at least, but who knows if she was gay or bi, but she was in love with Beck. Anyways, I thought she was like a lesbian in the show, which is why I started watching it. So shout out to her. Shout out to Pretty Little Liars for introducing me to Shay Mitchell. No, I'm kidding. But I really liked the show from the beginning. Season 2, I think, is still one of my favorites. Okay, if I had to rank the seasons, I don't know. I think season 3, then season 2, then season 1. Actually, maybe it would be season 2 tied with season 3. I don't know, because I think I like season 2 more because it takes place in LA. But I think season 3 is really interesting because of Joe and Love's, like, dynamic, right? So I don't know. Okay. I think season 2 and 3 are tied in my brain. I would have to rewatch them to really decide which one. Then season 1, then season 5, and last is season 4. Hated season 4, flop of the century. I wasn't that interested in many of the characters, and also because of the whole premise of like there's the Eat the Rich killer and Joe thinks he's trying to solve it, but then it was actually Joe the entire time. I really hated that. But I really like this season. I think the ways we see, like, the inciting kill that then caused Joe to devolve, the way he's trying to kill to protect his family, the way Bronte is able to manipulate him, he falls for it, then she falls for his manipulation, they're in a place, then Marianne breaks through to her, she gets him, she's the one to defeat the evil of Joe Goldberg. I liked it, and I liked the fact that at the end, she's like, he's not going to define my story. At the end of the day, Joe Goldberg will just be some guy I dated. I liked that. I'm a fan of Bronte. Okay, people were really mean to her. They were like, she's boring. She's this, she's that, the other. I think if Bronte alone had no knowledge of Joe Goldberg, right, she just for some reason was like able to pick up on his bullshit and defeat him, maybe I would understand like the annoyance of people being like, after 5 seasons, Bronte's the one to defeat him. But it wasn't Bronte alone. It was Bronte with all of the knowledge of all the harm he's caused and with Marianne's voice that caused a breakthrough. Like, it wasn't like Bronte had like a special way to be like, Joe, there's something off about Joe and she solved it and then she just took him down. She took him down because she knew everything that he had done. And she had somebody who understood emotionally how she was feeling breakthrough to her. I think that was well done. I'm sad Mooney's burned down. Like, what did all those books do to deserve that? But yeah, sorry if this episode was all over the place. Really enjoyed You season 5, truly. School Spirit season 2 deep dive coming soon, I promise. And then Yellow Jackets season 3 deep dive will be out a couple weeks after that. Don't know what I'm going to talk about next week. I do think I'm going to aim for my School Spirits deep dive to be the episode for next week. Probably, maybe it'll be out like Friday. Will be my new release day going forward, Thursdays or Fridays, instead of Wednesdays. I think Thursday is the day that I'll aim to release episodes now. I was releasing on Wednesdays because new Yellow Jackets episodes were dropping Thursday night, so I didn't want to, I wanted to release it with enough time. If you were listening to my Yellow Jackets episodes, I wanted to release it with, like, at least a day to listen to the podcast before a new Yellow Jackets episode dropped. But since I don't really have, like, a time restraint now, I do think next week, this episode will be out Friday, so probably next week my episode will also be out on Friday, especially because I'm aiming for that to be the deep dive. If I do not get the deep dive done, I'll have an episode just yapping about some other shows that I've been watching this week, because I will still be watching television this week. So whatever I'm watching and whatever I have thoughts on, that'll be next week if I don't get the deep dive done. But I am aiming to, and I do think I'll be able to, by next Friday, have that ready. So episodes Fridays going forward for the tentative future. When I have another show that I'm covering week to week, that will change the scheduling just depending on like when that premieres, stuff like that. Like, depending on the show that I'm covering the day that I release a podcast, changes. So right now, since I'm not covering a set show, my release date will likely be Fridays going forward, at least for a little while. So thanks for tuning in. It means a lot. If you have any suggestions for shows you would like to hear my thoughts on, if you have any thoughts on You Season 5 that you want to share, please comment below, subscribe, follow me, all of that. Thank you so much for tuning in. It means a lot. I'm really, really sorry if any of this was incoherent. I really have not been feeling the best and my headache. Like, at some point, I just fully lost my train of thought. And I'm like, I'm literally going to edit this. And like 2 minutes of it, I'm going to be like, where the fuck did that thought come from? So I'm sorry if you feel that way listening. But hopefully some of this made sense and was insightful or at least funny or interesting or whatever. Anyways, thanks so much for tuning in. Apologies again for any... Thanks for tuning in. I'm going to stop apologizing. What show is that? That somebody's like, you apologize too much. That's an ugly habit for a woman. I think maybe it was Gilmore Girls, but maybe I made that up. Anyways, thanks so much for tuning in. Have a great week. You'll hear from me next Friday.